Welcome to the Pirates Overboard podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostwick, joined alongside Jonathan Luters. We are two student athletes excited to sit down with fellow Pirates to talk about their experience here at the Hall and learn more about them on a personal level. Go check out and follow the Pirates Overboard Instagram page for all of our content. And if you want to go watch our podcasts, go to our YouTube page at Pirates Overboard. So let's get into it.
Our next guest is Jaden Bediako. He's a grad student athlete here for our historic men's basketball team. The 6'10 center had a great 4 years prior, graduating with a degree from Santa Clara University out on the West Coast in California, and has now come to the East Coast to the Garden State to compete for the Pirates. Jaden, at the time of this recording, is averaging a career best 9 points and 7.7 rebounds per game, and has been a staple in the Pirates starting five this season. We had a great conversation with Jaden, talking about his time competing for the national team, Team Canada, his relationship with his siblings and being a part of a basketball family, and what the Seton Hall experience on and off the court has been like for him. We loved having Jaden on the podcast, and who knows, we might have to do a part two episode in the future. And buckle up, we have a 2 to 3 minute surprise right in the beginning of this episode from a current baseball student athlete and one of Jaden's classmates, Andrew Bianco, who helps us to introduce our main guest. So without further ado, Jaden Bediako.
Welcome, Jaden Bediako, part of the Seton Hall men's basketball team here. And we're super excited to have you on today. You have a busy schedule. You're in your bye week this week, getting ready for Georgetown and stuff like that. So first things first on this morning, how are you doing today?
So guys, thanks for having me. I'm alive and well. You know, low energy, but I'm alive, so that's all I could say.
Hey, fantastic. Now, we have a little special guest here that's going to join us right about now. As Mr.
Andrew Bianco.
Enters the building.
What's up, man? How we doing?
I'm good.
We thought we'd spice up a little bit, just a few minutes. I know we don't have too much time. I want to respect both you guys' time, but you guys know each other just a little bit, right?
Yeah.
How did you guys meet? How did that guys happen?
I'll take it. We were actually in the same, I think it was market decision making class, and both athletes, but I didn't really get to know him until damn near the end of class, really. But it's kind of cool, that whole fellowship with athletes and stuff like that. So that's why I drive from that, and we've been good since. So.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. Andrew, what's your perspective on this? How do you guys get close? What's kind of like the similarities you guys have? I know being transfers, how do you guys kind of bonded?
Yeah, so I mean, that's what Jaden said. Like, we in the marketing class together, we actually had like a end of the year party in that class, and Alex Nicolosi from the baseball team, he was also in that class. So kind of at that, we kind of just started talking to him, and like he said, like being transfer students, grad transfers from different places, and like it's been really nice. Like kind of like I feel like the culture of like the athletes here, and just gives like a good atmosphere to like get to know. The basketball players, I know another one's like Alamir Dawes, always right. Talking to them. So it's really great to be like invested in their team as well.
Absolutely. And I think for you guys too, like did you have any similar experiences coming from different schools, coming to here? Like, did you relate to certain things in that aspect?
I think the transfer aspect of it and being new guys here, you know, like I think this is both our last years here. So we're trying to like, or last year in collegiate sports regardless. So we're trying to like make the best of it though. But yeah, new territory, new uncharted territory, but it's the way it is in college. Like, you see every year the transfer portal is always getting bigger and bigger, so, yeah.
True. Yeah. Awesome. Anything else to add, AB, Andrew, before get going here?
Yeah, I mean, I think like you said, like just coming to a different school, different experience, everything, especially, you know, I came from Division II school, and just like the Big East and stuff is pretty cool, especially with the basketball. It's really an awesome awesome thing we got here. So be able to interact with them and stuff, and just the whole program here, like all the sports programs here, it's really been like a cool experience, and it just adds to it and makes it more personal. So
that's awesome. Good stuff. Jaden, we hope you liked the surprise a little bit. we thought you'd like it. We wanted to get Mr. Andy Bianco on the show for a little bit as well, and knowing that you guys were in the same class together and whatnot. So Andrew, thank you for being on. We'll get going here. I know we're tight on time, so we'll let you go. Andrew, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Jaden.
See you, man.
I'll see you soon.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Bianco, as you get ready for practice today. So
Let's talk about really quickly your game on Thursday. Great game. You got to play in front of a lot of your family. What was that like playing in front of your family?
That was great, man. So that was most of my dad and his side of the family, but we're big. It's big. Both sides of my family are both big, so that's like you saw maybe 10 or 15% of that video. It was cool. You know, obviously when I was like transferring, you know, a little bit when you wanted to come back maybe to the East Coast, Midwest, a little closer back. And, you know, being in the Big East and DePaul being in Chicago, I'm like, well, this is a shot to play at home, though. And that wasn't the main decision. It was, like I said, like maybe 5, 10% of it, but it was like a bonus. It was like, well, I get to play in Chicago, and he got to see me play. And I haven't been back to Chicago since 2018. And I think lots of people forget. I was glad about that clip, because I'm like, so when y'all keep saying I'm not American, like, I keep telling y'all, I was born in Chicago, 09, 24, 2000, 831, Swedish Convent Hospital. Yeah, it's weird. I know that. I know. But,
he's got it down.
Yeah, I got it. Because everyone keeps saying, yo, you're not American. Like, you're Canadian, right? You're international. I'm like, no. Like, I was born in this country. I know more stuff than y'all because, I mean, our system in Canada is pretty good. But I just grew up in Brampton / Toronto. So, but it was great to see and great to be back in the city. And it's the first time y'all saw me play. My dad actually drove up to Marquette to watch me play. So that was pretty cool, too. And, yeah, mom's probably gonna come senior day, but for sure Big East tournament. But just having a chance to play in this league and have more family come see me is really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Did you have that DePaul game marked up on your calendar? It was cool to see online all the family you did have there. Was that a game that you had marked off from being the season?
Yeah, that's the game I saw. I'm like, January 30th, DePaul, going back home. And people always like to ask me, like, why do you go on your Instagram or story or social media, you always put home, or you tag Chicago? I'm like, because that's where my life started. My first 3-2 years of life started in Chicago, and I still got family down there, so it was great, man. It was great.
Awesome.
That is amazing. And I'm happy for you that you got to have that experience at DePaul. So let's kick it back before coming to Seton Hall, before even college basketball. You have a brother who played at Alabama for a little bit now. NBA, G League, I'm drawing a blank on which?
Both, two-way contract.
Two-way contract. So what was it like growing up playing against your brother and always competing, and then being able to both of you be at the collegiate level?
Yeah, so Charles is my younger brother, so I was doing most of the beating up on him. But it was cool, you know, like, to be honest with you, obviously the same goes, we have a younger sister too, Jada, who plays at Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. It goes the same, like, once the oldest sibling, which I am, starts something, the other two just kind of follow later on. So I think we were kind of all late bloomers, though. But once I started playing, after a year or two, he's like, I'll try, too. He's playing. I might as well try, too. And it's been good. And, I mean, it's great to see, you know. I know we're one of, like, many families where you have, like, all the siblings playing basketball at the highest level. So, I mean, I'm glad about that. I'm, like, I'm glad I got to start that, being the oldest, though, and just being, like, the blueprint, obviously. And obviously Charles making it to the NBA has been really special to see, you know. Obviously when in the undrafted route, though, but I always tell him, like, you had a great college career. Whether, like, like, one thing we might have to beef about when we get older is, like, he led the number one team in the country overall. Alabama was the overall number one seed. And, yes, people, this was for basketball, not football. Number one overall seed in basketball in the tournament. Got to go two tournaments, and that's what I'm looking to do next, you know, get to the tournament at least. But great to see him. He really played well late in the season, that last season, and just a great kid, hard worker. Just right now, going through the adversity and stuff like that. But he's up for the challenge, and it's only year one, right? So it goes up from here, and just keep working.
Yeah.
So it's been good.
Awesome. No, sorry to cut you off there. That's awesome, and it's really cool that obviously to have your brother and sister both be playing basketball, and you, as you said, lay out the blueprint. How much of that success? And I'm kind of serious about this, but also like half joke at the same time. Like, how much of the success was from your brother, was from your perspective, like, how much does he owe you for basketball terms?
Man, I take all the credit, man.
Yeah, that's the answer I was looking
take
for.
All the credit.
I kind of bumped one of the words over there, but that's the answer I was going for.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, no, too, he earns his flowers, too, but I'm just saying, if I didn't play, like, I don't know if he would follow that.
There we go.
But, like I said, man, it's just great to see, and, like, you know, we're one of, like I said, many families in the history, like, who had, I think, and also, too, all three of us have all played for the national team, Team Canada, at some point, so it's really good. So just up from there, man. And I keep that legacy name going, Bediako.
Like, yeah, awesome. And you just mentioned Team Canada. We were going to touch upon that briefly. How is that experience? That's probably really, really neat representing your country. Yeah. I know you have the United States ties, too, but you can't. Okay.
USAK.
Yeah.
Okay. Playing for the national team's been great. It's actually helped me, I think, all of our developments, though, you know, because most of the headquarters is in Toronto. And one thing, too, with all the athletes and, like, especially Canadian basketball players and NBA guys, like, we all know each other. I know all the guys in the NBA from Canada, mostly from the Ontario area.
Got it.
Around my age or a bit older, a bit younger, like, we're just all from the same area. So I see, we played against each other, club ball, high school, played on the same AAU teams and Team Canada at some point. So it's a very knit group, though, and very well known. And we all know each other pretty well. But playing for Team Canada has been a great experience, and I got to travel the world. So most of the places I've been to, like in Europe and South America, have all been due to Team Canada, whether it's the American qualifiers or the World Cup. And it's just been great to see the rise of Canada basketball. You guys saw on our men's side, you know, when we get all our players and when they want to come and play, like, they did something special. I think we qualified for the Olympics for the first time since 2000 in basketball for the men's side.
Oh, you don't know that. Yeah. Wow.
So, and it's only up from here, but that's when we got our guys committed and they want to play and stuff. But the guys who do the work before that, too, like the front offices and the general managers, they do a great job of, like, IDing talent and stuff like that. But it's been really a great experience, though. I never beat USA. I never won a world medal, but I have lots of silver medals from the Americas because we can take care of everyone else, and then we play America, then it's a whole different ballgame. But I think we're bridging that gap closer as a country. And then we also have the Raptors in Canada, so, you know, basketball's really great. And they won the chip, like, in 2019. So.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Basketball's really growing in Canada. We keep saying it a lot in Canadian basketball, but it's really growing. Like, I think we have the second most Division I men's basketball players, or basketball players in general, in college sports, because lots of our best athletes, like, will come down here and play.
Mm. It's really cool to see, like, how proud you are of Canada and, like, really invested not only yourself but also, like, the other athletes and basketball players that are growing. You want to see the sport of basketball growing in Canada, so that's really, really neat.
Yeah, I'm tired of being called a hockey country, you know. Yeah. I mean, hockey, I know it kind of dominates, but it's like, you know, basketball's been really good, and you pay attention, it's been, like I said, you pay attention, it's really good, and we got lots of Canadian Division I players, NBA players.
Mm.
So we're coming up there as well.
Spread the word. Love it.
Yeah, it's been amazing to see all the talent come through, especially on the college level. So talk to us about what your transfer process looked like, and what were some of the things that drew you to play here at Seton Hall?
Yeah, so obviously I did 4 years at Santa Clara, you know, so I feel like in that, like, I was really loyal to that, and, you know, I graduated, got to walk the stage. But, you know, fifth year, you know, I'm like, you know, I did 4 years here. I kind of want to see what else is out there and see the portal and stuff like that. So it was a tough move to make. Obviously, you know, you're at a place where you're very comfortable at, but sometimes you got, like, get to be better, you got to get uncomfortable, right? So it was tough to have, and you know, some people were, like, sad. Most people wish me good luck and stuff because, you know, being a four-year guy, like, that stuff doesn't go away. Like, I'm still a Santa Clara alum regardless.
Right.
But the portal process was kind of a little hectic a little bit. You don't know which schools are calling. And I'm in California, so I'm, like, 3 hours behind the East. So I'll be in class, and I get, like, 5 phone calls. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, yo, let me text you back. I'm in class. And then I have to go through my day and then be like, okay, now I got to call these coaches back, and then I have to introduce themselves, and then they start want to talk and stuff. Like, I think I spent, like, almost half that because we're on quarters at Santa Clara.
Okay.
I spent most of my spring quarter, like, in the common area just taking notes and calling and doing Zooms and stuff with coaches, you know. So I did take a couple of visits to some schools that I was considering. I like some of them, too. But Coach Rasheen Davis called me from when I got on the portal. He called me from Seton Hall and expressed interest. And Seton Hall was, like, one of the bigger, like, schools that really, I would say, gave me an opportunity. You know, other schools were kind of honest and be like, yeah, we got maybe this for you. But really took a chance on me, and I just saw an opportunity. I just took it, you know. I'm like, I can go here. I can, if I work my butt off, and I can see the results, you know. And it just puts me in a position to maybe be in position, you know. Obviously, one, get to the tournament, but also, two, like, maybe help my future down in basketball. So all in all, I would say the portal process, it was hectic, but it was cool to go through. But, like, I always tell some people, like, you just never know who's going to call, and, like, just make sure you're going for the right reasons, too, you know. Like I said, like, going to playing DePaul, like, with Seton Hall, that was, like, maybe just an added bonus, but it wasn't, like, I want people to say that. I didn't come here just for, like, you know, just go play one game in Chicago and say, okay, that's why. No, it's came for something else, too, and also for school, too. So I'm working on something. I think my NBA certificate, school was big for me. I was very hungry,
like determined to get another like a degree or something, you know, after graduating from Santa Clara. So I really enjoyed the school part aspect of it. And I was also looking for that too in my portal search too. So yeah.
Yeah, we've talked off screen before about the importance that you have of valuing getting an education, getting a degree and whatnot. And in terms of, like, the transferring side, like Andrew, a similar thing, like he has different reasons that he came on to Seton Hall. Likewise, all the transfer athletes. And I wanted to go back real quick with the interview that you had after the DePaul game. Rob Stone and Casey Jacobson saying you're like one of the most underrated players in the Big East. So you're coming to Seton Hall for the right reason. They're taking a chance on you and really showing Coach Shaw and all the coaches, Coach Davison, like what you're made all about. And I want to touch upon where you said you were texting all the coaches. I had him in class. Did you text Coach Shaw or Coach Davison? Hey, I'm in class. Like, I could call you back. You have any one of those?
Yeah, I did text Coach Davison a couple times. Yeah. He's like, morning, and like, you want to pick up? I'm like, hey, Coach, man, I'd love to, but right now I'm at this class for 9 a.m. I keep telling you the time zone. I'm 3 hours behind. Like, it's noon over there. It's 9 a.m. over here.
That's too funny.
And you know what, too? That kind of reminds me, I do miss – if there's one reason why I moved back out west and it's point in my life, though, it's just guys know it's just for that time zone. Like, I miss being behind. It was cool just being behind, because if you're a sports fan, too, you could watch games from, like, 9 a.m. all the way to, like, 10 p.m.
Right.
The time zone's 3 hours behind. So, yeah, I miss California a bit.
I've never been out there. It's a goal of mine to get out there just to experience it. The farthest west I've been is Omaha, Nebraska. Great place, but I definitely want to get to see the Cali life. So, let's talk about a little bit here at Seton Hall. What is it like playing in the Big East Conference so far?
It's kind of like I was told. It's very physical, you know, very physical. They let stuff go away with the officiating. So that's kind of cool, because that Santa Clara got in some trouble with that. Nothing crazy, just like you can't really touch guys out west, really. I don't know what that's about. But
different ball in New Jersey, you know.
don't find me, guys, please. It's been cool. And, you know, one thing I love about the Big East is just the history, you know. Like, I think there's – when I was younger, I used to – like, so in Canada, we have something called TSN. It's kind of our version of ESPN. I was, like, about 12 or something. I went downstairs. It was, like, noon or whatnot. I went downstairs. I turned on TSN. They're showing – that they don't show college games, like, Monday through Sunday. But on Saturdays, they'll show a couple college games, okay, especially from the bigger schools. So I watched I remember it was Butler and Xavier. I think it was 2014, 2015, maybe even 2013. But I remember I stood in front of the TV for that whole game, and it was just Big East basketball. And I kind of remember that. I was like, oh, like, you know, I kind of like hold the whole noon schedule. But I'm just saying, with that, it's like I love college basketball a lot, man. Love it a lot. And that was one of not the first game, but one of the very few games where I remember very well in detail. Just went downstairs in my shorts, everyone's still sleeping. I turned on the game and I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch this. And I just fell in love with it too. And I think where I was going with this is the legacy of the Big East. It's a great conference, the history, you know, how this league survived after the breakup in 2014 or realignment, or 13
that's a good
realignment.
Point, yeah.
You know, like, people forget, like, Miami was in here, West Virginia, Pitt was all here. Now, yeah, the coaches, they all know, they got to see that. But our generation, like, well, and I'm paying really close attention to, like, real college basketball that year. Duke won in 2014, 2015. So that's when people are like, oh, yeah, this old Big East. I'm like, what's old Big East? You know, UConn coming back's great. It's a good league, man. Really good league. The arenas, the facilities are great. Like, it really feels like I really did go up a level, but it's like almost Hollywood, you know, compared to, like, where I was playing before. I think the biggest arena we had was BYU, but now they're in the Big 12. But all these arenas and the fans are great. We played Marquette, I think, last week. It was last week. I shouldn't know this. It was last week. We played Marquette last week, and it was a 12 o'clock game. It was at the Milwaukee Bucks Arena, Pfizer Forum, which is probably the best arena right now, in my opinion, in the Big East, other than our Prudential. But 12 o'clock game, it was sold out. I was like, oh, my God. And the fans here are really, like, professional. Well, I mean, like, professional. Like, they come out to everything. They're, like, very diehard and loyal, which I didn't really see a lot some other schools when we played at when I was at Santa Clara. So it's a really it's a big step up. Great league, great history, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. And, you know, it kind of does suck, though, because someone's talking about this, because I'm like, damn, I only got, like, guys, think about it. We're in February right now. I have February, March, and then Selection Sunday. Hopefully the goal is to get there. And then, yeah, and people have been telling me, too, we love you, man. We just kind of wish you had another year. So that's the kind of, like, I don't know, I talk because I'm like, damn, I'm trying to be in the present, but it's, like, it's almost going away soon. But, you know, that's why we enjoy the today, which is obviously a gift, which is called a present. But we enjoy it today. But just like being part here in the Big East, man, just really enjoy it. And obviously wish I could have another year. But I'll be, whatever happens after the next couple of months, I'll still be tuning in. And, you know, I'm a speaker for this league. If they need me to speak or anything, I'll vouch for this league. But this has been one of the best experiences so far in my young basketball career.
That's amazing stuff. And plus, during that Marquette game, you had Doc Rivers there, who was getting presented as the Bucks head coach. So a lot of fans there looking to see that. So this is going to be our last kind of segment here, Advice to a Pirate. So you're having one of the best collegiate seasons that you've had so far, averaging 9 points a game and about 7.7 rebounds per game so far. What advice would you give to Seton Hall athletes looking to make that jump in the middle of their season to continue to improve?
Right. Just hard work, man. Like, I know it sounds cliche, but, you know, I put some time in the gym, and obviously being a grad guy, like, now I have way more time. So just being in the gym, making the extra work, like staying after practice, getting there before practice, taking care of your bodies too. So if you're one of those older athletes, we'll say, take care of your body. Like, you know, this is the car, and that's like stretching and rehabbing and getting the cold hot tubs. Obviously that, I communicate with the coaches. And, like I said, it sounds cliche, but to be honest, that's what's helped me so far. And also get out in the community, too. Get out in the community, get to know people, man. These are great people here. And enjoy every moment of it, too. But another point to add to that, too, is I would say just trying to figure out how to put this properly, but believe in yourself too. You know, I think what we do at Seton Hall, Coach Shaw made everyone write down something to put in their locker room why you play the game of basketball for. And so sort of having that like kind of like goal in mind or like what you're playing toward and stuff like that. So for me, obviously I play for my family, but really for myself, but also too, I also want to prove people, you know, wrong. Because one thing that drove me to Seton Hall too was some schools I visited didn't believe, like, they're like, I mean, you're like, let me run down quick for you. I averaged 6 points and 4.9 rebounds in my senior year. And they're like, well, going up a level is like, it's usually guys that you're like, your statistics right now, going up a level is very detrimental for you. And that kind of like pushed me, because I'm like, I don't know why you like kind of like sort of bad mouthing, but like, why would you know? So
yeah. Yeah.
I felt there's a chip on my shoulder, and I said, I'm just going to come here and work. And, you know, it's still young. The season's still, this is only February right now. John Rothstein, shout out. but come with a chip on your shoulder and, you know, prove everyone wrong and prove yourself. I always say I'm trying to prove myself wrong too, you know, because the old me would have been like, nah, I can't play here. And sometimes I still have those battles with myself. But, you know, every once in a while, every day, you know, you always get 1% better and prove myself wrong a bit. So, yeah. That'd be my advice, though. Enjoy the process, guys.
That's an awesome answer, and I think you're proving a lot of people right now what you're all about, into the fact that you're here and doing something like this, getting out in the community, getting your voice out there. Everyone loves you here. We definitely wish you had more than one more year. We definitely wish that. I know in terms of time, we want to let you go. You have a lot more basketball activities left for today. So if you don't have anything else more to add, do you have anything more to add, Jaden, before we kind of wrap things up here?
No, thank you guys for having me, man. I definitely would like to come back on this now. Doing this for the first time, I'm like, yeah.
We can do a part two, yeah.
We'd love to.
We can do part two, yeah. I mean, we need to get part two on this, guys. But these guys are great guys. You guys probably heard them more of their voices than I've been here. So just want to thank you guys for your time and bringing me here. You know, I know it's been a hassle, but I'm glad to do this.
Oh, hey, no, we're glad we got it to work. So thank you so much for coming on the show with us. We can't wait to keep watching you play throughout February, throughout March, because we're putting it out there. Throughout March, here we go. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon, everybody.